This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is part of our episode, Language. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. English is the world's dominant language. That is true in science as well. Most research papers today are published in English. But about 100 years ago, scientists used lots of different languages, and that got really confusing. Enter the quest to create a simple, universal way to communicate. Joel Wolfram has this story.
Chances are you've never heard of Volapük. Gloro and Novial probably don't ring any bells either. But maybe you've heard of this one.
Let me think of something I can say in Esperanto. Mi deziras mian hundon, which means I want my dog.
Michael Gordon is a professor at Princeton University who studies the history of modern science.
Many of the words sound somewhat comical to English speakers. The word for bird in Esperanto is birdo.
Michael says scientists were enthusiastic supporters of goofy-sounding universal languages when dozens of them began to be invented in the late 1800s. Science was booming back then, and if you wanted to keep up, you had to know a lot of different languages. At first, most scientific works were published in three languages, English, French, and German. But then that started to change.
Starting around the 1860s and 70s, you get expansion of railroad networks, you get expansion of telegraph networks, people travel more easily.
As the world became more interconnected, the language barriers between scientists traveling around Europe became harder to ignore. And discoveries were starting to be published in even more languages, such as Japanese and Russian. Michael says people were worried they were heading toward a scientific babble, where nobody could understand each other. Enter the idea of a universal language, created from scratch. Esperanto was one of the most popular of these constructed languages. It was invented by Polish ophthalmologist L.L. Zamenhof and designed to be very easy to learn. The vocabulary draws on familiar root words from European languages, and its pronunciation and grammar consistently follow the same rules.
It sounds vaguely like Portuguese.
Qui resteront à Paris les seuls vestiges des fastes de l'exposition.
In 1907, an international delegation of scientists meets in Paris to decide which of the constructed languages will become the new official language of science. Esperanto is the front runner, but some of the delegates think it doesn't make the grade.
Esperanto is a pretty good language, but it has some quirks and weirdnesses and flaws, and people quibble about it, so they want to create a new language that's going to be absolutely perfect.
The delegates vote for a reformed version of Esperanto called Ido. But most Esperanto speakers remain loyal to the original and refuse to take up Ido. That creates a schism, which doesn't bode well for the adoption of an international language of science.
The perfect is the enemy of the good.
But in the end, it was World War I that spelled doom for this project.
The war ruptures internationalist instincts as people devolve into nationalism and fight.
After the war, the quest to find an ideal constructed language has lost steam. German also falls out of favor. There's even a 7-year boycott against German scientists. Michael says that left an opening for English to become dominant and offer a way out of the scientific Tower of Babel.
So English does a lot of the things that Esperanto was originally intended to do. That comes with giving a huge advantage to native speakers of that language. Esperanto was supposed to be fair and do that. And what we have now is something that does that, but isn't fair.
It's not that perfect solution scientists were hoping for a century ago. For The Pulse, I'm Joel Wolfram.